What a glorious morning. Wish everybody here a very blessed and happy Easter and Easter season. We gather in this sacramental offering to celebrate our Lord's resurrection and the encounter of the empty tomb after laying our Lord to rest on Good Friday and knowing that the tomb had been sealed. The wonder of that empty tomb brings a deep sense of hope and joy to the soul. Because we know that in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the apostles will soon encounter directly, he shows forth the final victory he has won over the powers of sin and death, and the mystery of him crucified starts to be revealed regarding that triumphant sign. Many years ago, when I had the opportunity to travel to the Holy Land and visit the tomb of Christ, I was told a story by the priest that was leading the pilgrimage. I was a transitional deacon in my last year at seminary. And as we were visiting and touring the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and able to go and tour in a more private sense the tomb of our Lord and pray there for some time, the priest told a story of bringing a pilgrimage a few years earlier with some high school students. And when he was visiting, there was one young lady that was just inconsolably weeping in the tomb of Jesus. And the priest noticed how much she was just moved emotionally in that moment. But something caught his attention because she seemed overwhelmed with sorrow. You know, sometimes we can become overwhelmed with goodness and beauty and be so moved that we come to tears. But he noticed something was a little different in her posture. And he started to realize that she was caught up with the moment of the place where Jesus' body was laid to rest. And there seemed to be a deep sense of spiritual sorrow in her heart for that moment of salvation history. And so as they were walking away and she continued to weep, the priest asked her one question. Was Jesus there? And she stopped. She thought about it. And her tears ceased, and she started to smile. Because she realized the point of the question. Jesus had risen and the tomb was empty. And rather being filled with the tears of sorrow, it now rings with the laughter of the Heavenly Father, bringing into the world and showing the world that he has had victory over these moments and won for us a new and glorious destiny that is beyond human imagination. And through baptism, confirmation, the life of grace that we seek to live each and every day, we are now caught up in that covenantal relationship with God that Jesus established. And we firmly hold and believe that he has opened the gates of paradise for you and me in such a beautiful and complete way that we share in that life even now, even though we wait its perfect fulfillment in the life to come. How is it that we embrace that life that we receive and celebrate on Easter Sunday with great joy, solemnity, and rejoicing? Last night, is with every Easter vigil. We begin by blessing the Easter fire, which stands in stark contrast to the darkness around us. And it symbolizes this new light of Christ coming into the world, this new grace born forth from his wounded side and his sacred heart. And it's from that blessed flame that we light the Easter candle and process into the dark church, but each one holding a lighted candle symbolizing the baptismal graces and dignity of Christ now alive in the soul because of baptism. And the church then glows this radiant, wondrous light of Christ that started so humbly and radiated beyond, knowing that we are all caught up in that single light of Christ. Our life of discipleship, in rejoicing in the mysteries that we celebrate in Easter and through the whole Triduum and Holy Week, we hold on to them when we seek to live that light of grace, life of grace, by recognizing the light of Christ that dwells within us and its preciousness, the giftedness, that we truly welcome it into our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and allow it to search us and know us, this living presence of God, without any fear or hesitation. Knowing and counting on the precious mercy and tenderness of our Lord as he calls us to grow spiritually each moment, every day, sometimes in even very challenging ways. But it's because of that tender, compassionate mercy of our Lord, his presence within us, that we do not fear or hesitate in those moments, but are disposed to say, yes, Lord, I will accept, I will grow with your help. That's a powerful, beautiful confidence. And that is how we allow that light not only to be maintained in our life as a life of grace, but we also allow it to grow and radiate through us. By the strength of our faith, by the strength of the sacraments, and the living presence of God, we go forth as hope-filled disciples, showing everyone we encounter, every face we see, the glory of the risen Lord, the good news of Christ, and the truth and the grace that he brings to us that leaves us forever changed and gives us a new possibility for living true Christian holiness in being perfected as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Sometimes I know we can go out into the world with that desire to radiate Christ, and we can face situations that sometimes seem so dark. We can all think or imagine them. And we can be tempted to think in that moment, well, what good is the light that I bring? But when we imagine one candle, that baptismal candle, burning in darkness, what a powerful light it casts. That's why we are undaunted in our discipleship. It's why we're not afraid to allow his grace and truth to radiate from us. And with great hope that in doing so, others may see that light, welcome it, embrace it in their own, because our testimony, given humbly and truly can be authentic and most convincing when we do. And those others will catch flame and fire with the power of Christ, convinced of his saving presence and his church and sacraments in the world, so that they can be transformed. And what a beautiful world and society it becomes when the gospel of truth and grace is professed, accepted, and believed. When we look throughout the ages of the church, we only need to see the example and lives of the saints throughout the ages, those that we know, those that we've come to know and love, and seek their intercession and are inspired by their life of holiness. Every place there was a saint in society. Justice and peace were sown. Charity was lived. Hospitals were built. Schools. And more the living presence of God was seen as the driving light by which we are perfected as a people of God. That should give us hope, my brothers and sisters, when we encounter the risen Lord and his empty tomb today at Easter. That we rejoice, we're moved, we're gladdened by it. But that we're also inspired to allow that light of Christ that has entered the depths of our consciences, freed us from original sin, allows us to live in a state of grace, the gift of the church, the gift of the sacraments, that we are awed, inspired by it, so that we allow it to be deepened in our life. That our discipleship is not merely one of constancy, but one of growth. Knowing that no matter how much we know, love, and serve God and one another today, we have the possibility of doing so more fervently, devotedly tomorrow. The drama that we celebrate of our salvation history is one that is alive, not just locked away in human history, but burns in our midst and in our very souls. May the good work that the Lord has already begun be blessed and be brought to fruition, that we may know his divine love in our lives and be always oriented with a deep burning desire for the fullness of the kingdom of heaven, the promise of Christ Jesus.